Welcome into Finish Strong. If you were with us recently, we had on Pastor Aaron Burke, who wrote a book called The Unfair Advantage. I'm going to hold it up right here. It's a good one. Seven keys from the life of Joseph that will transform your life. And we really enjoyed having Aaron on, and we only got through half the book, so we're having him on again tonight. I'm Dan Wheeler, joined by Terry Steen and Brian Rowland. And guys, Aaron is an impressive young man. He's got a lot of energy, which us old guys need. It helps our podcast.
Yeah, that's right. he's actually like within months of the age of my daughter. So it's like he could be my son, but he is my pastor and he does a great job. I've had the privilege of being a trustee on his board for a while, and the church is just doing some great things. So yeah. It'd be exciting to have him back. Yeah.
Is he even 40 yet?
Yes.
Yeah. Brian,
I don't know. He's close. Yeah. He can tell you.
Remember when we turned 40, Brian? We thought we're so old and so wise.
I thought it was all over.
Well, I think Aaron has definitely matured a little bit quicker than us. But in the first episode, guys, he talked about Joseph as the discouraged dreamer and how he had a dream and then his brothers hated him and all the things they did to him to try to destroy him, put him in a pit. And then he has a chapter called The Redirected Reject, how a lot of times when we feel we're being rejected by the world, it's really God rejecting the situation. And then about the wageless worker. Terry, you talked about that, which, Joseph was working really as a slave for a while, wasn't he?
As a slave. So if you don't have the motivation to get paid, what's your motivation? Yeah. And so it has to come back to God, doesn't it? So that was a great piece. Yeah.
The final chapter was so important. The seduced saint, how Joseph rejected Potiphar's wife's advances.
Yep.
And, he says, sin is easy to get into, integrity is hard to keep. But boy, in a moment of weakness, everything can fall apart that we've worked for all our lives.
Yeah, but in Joseph's case, he didn't, knowing that the consequences, what could possibly happen, and it did. It threw him in the prison. It was there for a number of years.
Yeah.
And forgotten, pretty much left there. But God didn't forget him.
Well, definitely. Terry, he's your pastor. Do you want to bring him back in with another introduction?
Yeah, and I definitely would recommend that people go back and listen to our last podcast as well to catch this whole thing. Yeah.
And by the way, people can get his book, I'm assuming, wherever books are sold, but Amazon's a great place. It's where I got my copy.
Yes, yes.
The Unfair Advantage.
Yes, this is my pastor. Let's bring him back for this second episode. Pastor Aaron, great to have you with us.
I am honored to be with you, men. And no, I'm not in my 40s yet.
No, he hasn't got there.
I'm in my thriving 30s for about four more months.
Wow. I didn't remember what month it was. I knew it wasn't too far.
But you already have the wisdom of a 40-year-old, at least.
Yeah. I hope I have the wisdom of at least of that. But I turned 40 this December. So pray for me.
Yeah. Well, it's been so great to have you, and what an incredible first book. I know it was a challenge and a lot of work, and with everything you're doing, leading the huge church that you do, all the other things that you do to sneak a book in there too, God's really been blessing your life, and it's a privilege to have you here to be a part of it. So we want to just continue to pick up from where we left off. Yeah. And talk a little more about the book.
Honored to be with you guys and honored to just be along with you guys, helping, encouraging people to finish strong.
Amen. Excellent.
Well, we covered several chapters already, which was nice, the first four. But the fifth one, which I think is great, is The Oppressed Optimist. And we left off really with Joseph trying to be seduced.
Opportunist. Oppressed opportunist.
I'm sorry. What'd I say?
Optimist. But they're both good.
Yeah, they're both good.
Okay. But we left off where Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him. He was thrown in prison. And while he was there, though, the warden picked up on him. I mean, he's running the prison for the warden. He became a good guy down there. He became a leadership role. And I noticed in one of the notes here about gathering a multitude of thousands was less significant than making legitimate disciples. Now, that's Jesus we're talking about. Yeah. And I see how that ties in with Joseph there in the prison and the warden.
Yeah. So the story is so amazing because God puts him in a prison for about 10 years.
Wow.
10 years. You got to think about this. It's like, why in the world would God put him there for 10 years?
Yeah. And
then I started doing some research on this of like, what was the purpose of the prison? And we all go through seasons like this of going through dark seasons, difficult seasons, seasons we feel hidden, feel like they're a waste, but there's always purpose to it. If you are a follower of Christ, there's always a purpose to whatever, even dark season you're going through. So then I started researching the prisons and I explain it there in the book. I don't want to give them all away, but part of the reasons that the Egyptians were so advanced is that they had an advanced prison system and they educated their prisoners. Mm. So I found all this research about how Egyptians really worked on reprogramming their prisoners to be great Egyptians. And then I thought, how crazy that our God is, that he takes a man, puts a dream in his heart that he's going to be the ruler over Egypt. But this guy doesn't know the language. He doesn't know the culture. He doesn't know the customs. Wow. So God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put him in an education system for 10 years that he has to be part of this. By the way, he's not even going to want to sign up for it. So I'm going to throw him in there. And it won't ever find him. But what I say in that chapter is important is you can be in the prison and miss the lesson. And I want people to get that, is you can be in there. So I talk about the oppressed opportunists, is what are you doing in those seasons where you feel like it's oppressive? I'm not getting the promotions I want. I'm not getting the influence I want. I'm not getting the attention I want. What am I doing? And I would say there's probably a lesson God's trying to teach you right there in the prison that you're going to need in the next season, but you got to figure out what it is and you got to lean into what God has for you in this season.
Right. Wow. And it's interesting because the next point is you never know how the time in the dark will strengthen you. And that's exactly what happened with Joseph. Mm-hmm. He was strengthened without even realizing he was being strengthened. Isn't that right?
It is during dark seasons that God develops tools in us that we are going to need in the future.
Wow.
And I look through the dark seasons of my life where, you know, the seasons before I got married, the seasons that even in our marriage before we had children, those seasons before breakthrough, the seasons before, I mean, people look at my life now and we have a great church in Tampa and God's blessed our family. But I remember that season even right before it, the years of just learning and being behind the scenes where God was developing in us. Y'all might not remember. I mean, y'all remember, not because some of my generation won't remember that before used to have these things called cameras where you would take a picture and you have to go down to your local CVS or your Walgreens and you have to take the film out. But if you didn't take the film out right, what would happen?
Be destroyed. Exposed.
Yeah. All over. Yeah. And what was so amazing is they had these things called the dark rooms. You go to the dark rooms and they would take out the film and they would develop the beautiful pictures. Mm-hmm. And I want your listeners to know this, that beautiful pictures are still developed in the dark rooms of life.
That's good.
And if you're in a dark season of life, I want you to know there's something beautiful God's developing in you.
You know, Aaron, that's what happened with our ministry, Fearless Faith Ministries, which is behind this podcast, was formed after my wife's funeral. I went through a 3-year cancer journey with her, and these two guys were there with me and stayed after everybody left. And at the end of the week, I took them out to lunch and I said, guys, I'm feeling like God's calling me into ministry. I don't know what it's going to look like. And they both said, we do too. And can we help? And it's like, yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like. And it doesn't look anything like we thought it would. It's been more social media and podcasting. And I thought it was going to be going to churches and preaching, and that still may happen. But so true. I mean,
Dan, what a beautiful story of taking a tragedy and using it for God's glory. And I think of all the people that have gone through what you went through, but instead they walk away going, well, I guess my best days are behind me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess it's just going to be downhill from here. And you said, I'm going to take this pain and I'm going to put purpose to it.
Right.
And I love that. And I think about that with Joseph's life, is that he could have got out of that thing. He thrived in Potiphar's house again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thrived.
Yeah.
And he could have got in there and gotten that prison.
Right.
Shut down, frustrated, angry at God, and gone, I guess that's it for me.
Yeah.
But in the dark season, he let God do a work.
Right.
And that's exactly what you did. And I would challenge people today, if you're in a dark season, there's a work God wants to do deep in you and through you. He's connecting you with people. And I love that. You were like, in this dark time, there were people around that stayed with me.
Right.
And I think of the cupbearer in the prison. Mm-hmm. You know what? When you're in that prison, God brings around a cupbearer once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
He puts people in there with you.
Yeah.
And that's a beauty of the church.
Yeah.
It's the beauty of the body of Christ that we have each other.
Yeah. He brought me two great cupbearers. By the way, guys, could I have a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So I interrupted where we were, Brian.
Actually, no, I think let's move on. This is too good.
Yeah. Well, the beauty is that Joseph, you know, so many people wouldn't have reacted the way he did when he was in there, but yet he was doing the right thing. And there's many Christians that they're in their dark season, but they can recognize it. They can do the right thing and see no results. And that's what your next chapter on the Forgotten Faithful talks about, is how there's waiting seasons. And if you'll remember, Pastor, it was your sermon. I hope you remember. Waiting seasons are not wasted seasons. I mean, Joseph was there 10 years, 13 years total. And who would have thought that they would have taken the directions? You had shared with us, why am I waiting? You'd listed three or four points that talk about that. Address that a little bit, and let's talk about the Forgotten Faithful.
Yeah. You know, it was such a crazy part of the story because I looked at it thinking, he finds the cupbearer, and then the cupbearer, he interprets the dream for him. The cupbearer gets saved, gets back, you know, gets out of prison, back up to Pharaoh. And the only request Joseph makes is, remember me. Help a brother out. I need you.
Really?
And then I believe it's chapter 41, the very first verse, and it says, 2 full years passed before he remembered him. Mm. And I'm like, haven't we all had those moments we feel forgotten? Forgotten by people, forgotten by God. Like, where are you at? Where you put a dream in me, what is it going to happen? And so I think there's reasons why God lets that happen to us. And I put some of them in the book. People check out the book. You can do it. You can always check out the message I preached at Radiant in the month of August. I preached a message on waiting with a lot of info that's not even in the book, but it's just there's certain things. First of all, God has us waiting because many times the situation he wants you to walk into is not ready yet.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's like I think of the dream that God gave, you know, you three guys. Like, imagine that God wanted y'all to do that, and he gives you that dream, but he gave it to you in 1999. Well, Facebook didn't even exist.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, like this scenario wasn't even set up for what God was going to do through you.
Right.
And there's people right now that are waiting, and they think it's going to look some way, but God, you don't even know the world it's going to walk into in 3, 4, 5, 7 years from now.
That's right.
You got to be okay with the process.
Right.
And the second thing, and I'll just kind of end with this one, is most of the reason God has us waiting is because he's trying to do a work in us to trust him during that process. It's why are the children of Israel in the wilderness? They're in the wilderness to learn to trust and be in full obedience. They experience this with God. And then what do? They start following God. They trust him. And then they're head towards the promised land. They stop trusting him. They do their own thing. They head away. It's always a path of going, am I going to trust God even if it doesn't make sense?
Yeah.
And you never know what God's trying to do, like you say, during that time. And Joseph, maybe he needed 2 more years of training.
Absolutely.
Maybe he needed to be able to forgive the cupbearer.
Yep.
Because of what happened. And you just don't know sometimes how God wants to use your life.
I will say it this way. Trusting God means trusting God's timing.
Yeah.
So if you feel like, God, I give you complete control, that also means you have to give complete control of the timeline to him.
So
you can't have it on your timeline. And by the way, everything that God wants to do in your life is going to take longer than you want it to take, but it's going to be better than you can imagine.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Good. My last thought on that is that you had said, if you want God to do something big, Let him do something deep. And so often we want to run ahead. We have a picture of what we think it should look like, and maybe we think we deserve it. And if it doesn't have the depth, if it doesn't have what it takes to sustain, then it's going to falter and fall. And we don't see those pieces.
Yeah. And, you know, it's during the seasons that we're really in the valley. The difficult season is when God is developing the depth and the character inside of us. It's one thing to know God on the mountaintops. There's another thing to know him during the pain and during the valleys. You know, even Paul says, I desire that I might know Christ and participate in his sufferings. Yeah. It's like during those times where you're suffering, just want you to know that's where God's doing deep work in you so that you can be all that he's called you to be. And we need you all to be deep wells of what God wants to do. We don't need any more shallow, flaky, you know, people. We need deep wells. And part of that is going to be, you're going to be able to tell people that, you know what, let me tell you how I went through what I went through. Imagine Joseph's story. Can I just picture this? Picture he gets a dream from God. His family celebrates him. Pharaoh promotes him. And you know who would learn from that story? No one. You know what we would be talking about? Nothing about Joseph. Because that's not real life.
Right.
Real life is God believes in him. Nobody else sees it. People reject him. He gets overworked, underpaid. He's rejected. He's fought, wrongfully accused. He's seduced in his flesh. He lives for years forgotten. But God promotes him in due time. That's a story that's worth following. And that's your life also. You have a story to tell. It's just going to take a little bit longer than you want it to take.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so after he interprets the dream, then Pharaoh lifts him up and says, I'm Pharaoh, but you're over everything. But because Joseph developed those deep roots and the deep wisdom that comes with it, he had the foresight to know that he had to store up some food during the really productive years for the lean years. And, you know, he was able to have that wisdom, but your next chapter is called The Limited Leader. And I'm sure there were times when Joseph thought, boy, I went through all that just so I could store up food.
You were exactly right, Dan. I had never solved this part of the story until I had actually only written 6 chapters of the book. And I felt there was one more and I was missing. Uh-huh. And I went and reread the story and I thought, that's an unfair advantage. It's unfair that he gets promoted after 13 years of pain. And Pharaoh says, great, you're number 2 in charge. You're the prime minister. And by the way, you can do nothing except for prepare for a famine. I would be like, let me have 5 or 6 things on my job description. Let me at least have, you know, a couple different things I can be in charge. Let me run the pyramid building projects and the because it's unfair to stay focused. Right. But if you can learn how to focus, it is for your advantage.
Boy, and I loved you had the comparison of light. Light is just light and it brightens up a room, but if it's a laser, it can cut through steel.
It can cut through steel. And we have a bunch of people, especially people that are younger, who are sitting there thinking their greatest gift to mankind is that they can do 80 things well. Now, focus your life. The more focused you will be, the more effective you will be.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's like I wrote that book, The Unfair Advantage, and I was not writing the book while I was doing my doctorate and while I was pastoring the church and while I was raising my kids. No, I took a week away multiple times throughout a few different years, and I'm going to laser focus on what this is going to be because I am only effective really at one thing at a time.
Yeah.
So I'm not great at doing a lot of things at one time.
Yeah.
So I would just challenge people, get your life focused. We have celebrated a culture of jack of all trades and they're masters of none.
Right.
You're right.
Right. So, I've written a few books and I had to do the same thing. You got to get away. It's got to be where God can speak. And then you say in that chapter, don't just do good things, do God things. Yes, I love that.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? God has something for you to focus on right now. And I give a simple way to figure that out is you can figure out God's plan for your life. you know, we're led by the Spirit. We're Spirit-led people. How do we do that? We hear God's voice. We can say no to the world, no to foolish things, say yes to God, and don't ever sacrifice the God thing that he wants to do for your life for just a good opportunity that comes along. Yeah. Wait for the God thing. And I'll just say it this way. People always ask, like, how do I know if it's God's will? How do I know if it's what God wants me to do? Peace follows it. Peace follows it. And you can just tell. I mean, like, it's like this podcast. You're like, I don't know. It's a risk, but I feel like God's in it. I feel a peace in it. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Peace follows God's plan.
Yeah, boy, it certainly does. And then you said, as your abilities grow, opportunities will grow. That's certainly true. Always work on getting better. And then some of the best ministries happen after some of the biggest moments of pain. It's what happened to us. And I love that you encourage people, because there are people are going through pain right now. Yes. And they're not even thinking about ministry. But God is in that pain, and he can give you wisdom on why you went through it. I always say there is a purpose for everything we go through. We have to find that and find the path that God wants us to take out of that pain.
Absolutely. You know, Dan, before we go any further, I would really like for Pastor Aaron to pray for those that are listening right now.
Great idea.
That are in pain, that are in a dark place. Mm-hmm. And they're listening to this and they're saying, yeah, that might be good for Joseph, but I just don't think I can get there.
Yeah.
Would you do that for us, Pastor?
I would love to.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray for those who are listening to this, watching this podcast, and they are just in a dark spot. Lord, it feels unfair what they've gone through. I feel like even somebody, maybe a spouse walked out on them. Maybe a kid isn't talking to them anymore. Maybe even a job promotion fell through and they just feel that pain. And Lord, I pray that we would find comfort and that you're a God with a great plan for their life. Mm. Lord, you're a God that uses all of our pain. I don't believe you cause it, but I do think you use it for your glory. So Lord, we submit that pain to you. We submit that bitterness and resentment. We're not going to hold on to the past any longer. We're going to release it to you. And Lord, we make a decision right now. Lord, we might be driving in a car, but we're making that decision right now that, you know what? We're moving forward to what you have for us next. We're moving into the fact that we're going to put purpose behind the struggles we went through. And I pray that you would open up divine opportunities for us to use our past to help somebody else walk into their purpose. In Jesus' name we pray.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, I want to use every minute we have left, and we have a few. So I'm going to call this the lightning round, Aaron.
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
Guys, we've got some things that we listed here under the conclusion as we wrap it all up. Let's just guide Aaron through these 4 points. And Aaron, if you can give us maybe, you know, 20 to 30 seconds on each.
Quick.
And I'll start because this really struck me. My personality or God's design, who he made me, my passions, what makes me get out of bed, and my pain. Nothing is wasted with God equals God's plan. And Aaron, I said earlier, I'm so glad that you included pain because pain always plays such a significant role. Give us just
removed it out of there. I've watched personality assessments and how do you figure out God's plan for your life for years. Yeah. And I've never seen someone include the pain part, but your pain is part of your story. We impress people with our strengths, but we impact people through our pain.
Great. Guys, next one.
I can't believe he just said that because that was one of the 4 points we were going to discuss and he hit it right there. But there's one thing I've noticed is that when I'm in pain, if I've messed my back up, I can't function. I can't think of anything else. I can't do anything because all I'm thinking about is my pain. And you had mentioned that the enemy wants us to be focused on the pain instead of our purpose. So if he can get that pain into us and all we can do is think about that throb, then we're incapacitated, aren't we? And spiritually, we got to get over it.
Well, we do. And I think, so let's put it real practical. Real practical is that if you don't heal from whatever cuts you or hurts you, you're going to end up bleeding on a bunch of people that never hurt you in the first place. So you've got to learn that you need to take a season not years, a season, to get healthy. Yeah. Get healthy. If you're in that pain, get healthy. Let the Holy Spirit do it. I love that even about Dan's story. It's like, hey, I feel like God's calling you to do something. I feel like it's not like, hey, I'm ready to the next thing. Some of it takes some healing, some counseling, some good brothers or sisters in the faith. Like, get healthy, work through the pain, but then don't live in your pain any longer. And that's what I see so much, Terry, is people are living in their pain instead of getting healed so that they can use it for a better purpose.
Right. And believe me, I had days I didn't want to get out of bed. I had trouble going back to work. It wasn't easy, but I knew it was there and I knew I had to work. And you're right. There's a day where you say, okay, I can just stew in my sorrow.
You're right. Yep.
Miss my wife forever, or I can get up and do something kind of in God's honor and in her honor. So,
And this is why the next one's so important, though. Instead of trying to get famous, sorry, Dan.
No, that's good.
Why don't you lean into getting faithful? You know, and it's perfect. I mean, you were in the limelight, you were on TV, but instead of going back there just because of who you were and what you were doing, you were getting faithful.
And God took that desire to be on TV away from me after 30 years. So. Yep.
It is. And you know, the idea with our world today is we have the Instagram, TikTok, social media world that everybody wants a platform.
Right.
Like, don't worry about a platform. Worry about being famous before God. You know, it's like, I remember the old revivalist used to say, you know, people might know your name, but does the devil know your name? Remember this story? Yeah. You know, it's like the devil going, Paul I knew and Peter I knew. I don't know who you are. Make an impact in the spiritual realm and watch what God will do through your life.
Well, Aaron, it's been an amazing time. This book, people are going to have so many takeaways, and I know that I'm going to refer to it time and time again. It's called The Unfair Advantage. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, books online, wherever. Seven Keys from the Life of Joseph by Pastor Aaron Burke. And you're right, Mark Batterson. I loved reading his foreword because we've read a few of his books. He's a great writer. So God really put this together for you. Final thought on what you want people to take away from this, from 30,000 feet, the big picture.
Everything's best done in community. You want to walk into the purpose of God for your life, get a couple of brothers, get some family around you, go through the book together and go through those seven things, hold each other accountable on different seasons. When you're going through one of those seven things, leverage it for God's good. I show you how. It's available. It's not automatic that God's going to use it. So you got to make some good decisions. So get the book, go through it with a group together, and I think it'll help you.
Aaron, thanks for being with us all the way from Ireland. Now, get some sleep and enjoy the rest of your time there. Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to wrap things up. It was a pleasure having you.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah.
Ah, what a good guy. And boy, he's got a lot of wisdom for his age, guys.
Really does.
You know, one of my takeaways from his book, wrapping things up, is that, you know, life is short, but eternity is forever. And I'm sure Joseph felt like it was an eternity, 13 years in prison. But man, he kept his eye on the big picture, the long range goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the key, isn't it? Because as you're in the journey, it's so hard to think toward the end. And once he got there, once his brothers were in front of him, and he realized and could say, what you meant to harm me, God meant for good. Yeah. And that worked its way out. And if we could get that perspective in our own lives, that whatever's going on that we feel is harming us, whatever's painful, if we would just realize that God is meaning it for good, we just have to wait till it happens.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I got out of here too, it's at the very end, we never got to the last line with this we wanted to talk about, but it wraps it all up. You might impress people with your strengths, but you impact them with your struggles. And they see you going through something and see how you are, how you're approaching it and how you are doing it. That's the impact you have on people.
You know, I think people are watching us when we're going through those struggles. Mm-hmm. And it's true. We find out what we're made of. Yeah. You know, is your work going to be wood, hay, and stubble, or is it going to be lasting?
Right.
Something that is just going to, the fire can't touch, and that's what we have in our faith in Christ. Well, guys, that was a great two episodes. And Terry, thanks so much for arranging this and getting Aaron on with us. It was a really good episode.
Yeah, of I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, we hope you'll tell others about this podcast, Finish Strong. We are the three guys from Fearless Faith Ministries who bring you this. Please feel free to join us on Facebook at Fearless Faith or FFM60. Our logo is three flames for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or us three friends that go way back. You can find us on YouTube under Fearless Faith. We've got a great channel there. And boy, that's really been rising steadily and a lot of views on our videos. We have 3-minute videos called Your Morning Cup of Inspiration. We have an Instagram page that is fantastic. Terry, tell Karen she deserves a raise. She deserves
I agree. In fact, I'm thinking about doubling her pay.
Really? Yeah. From nothing to nothing.
Yeah. Hopefully she won't notice.
She does a great job working for the kingdom. Well, guys, I hope that you guys stay safe. I know you've got some weather issues down there in Florida. I'm up here in Michigan where we don't have hurricanes, but I do miss the sunshine down there. Right. Let's do again real soon, okay?
All right.
Okay.
God bless everybody. Join us again for another edition of Finish Strong.
Thank you for listening to Finish Strong. For more information about Finish Strong and Fearless Faith, check out their website, ffaith.org. Make sure that you rate and review this podcast to help more people accomplish their God-given purpose so that together we can finish strong.